Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. Listen, the week of April the 19th through the 23rd, I had my first ever conference. It's called Spirit Wind Conference. Oh, it was such an amazing time. I wanted to share a message that I did on Thursday morning called Head and Shoulders, because it has to do with what's going on in our world and culture, especially in the churches today. So sit back, relax, enjoy this special episode of the Greater Than Podcast, and I'll be back on to greet you again. I tell you, it's just been a good thing. It's been a good thing. It's been a blessed thing. Father, we acknowledge you in the rest of this service and this word that you've given me, Father. I acknowledge that it was from you. And I ask you, I just say this, sir. I say, you've given me a good word. Help me not to mess it up. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 4. 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 7. Thank you, Lord. Second Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And it reads, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Say, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Say it again. We've renounced the hidden things of shame. And he goes on to say, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word deceitfully. There are those who handle the word of God deceitfully. And if you don't think so, that's you're probably the one. If you don't think there's anybody around that does that, that just may be you. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blind, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the what? Glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Oh, come on now. For we do not preach ourselves. What I love about this meeting, not one speaker came up and preached themselves. We do not preach ourselves. Who do we preach? We preach Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is this God, it's the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where is it? In the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. What is this treasure we have in earthen vessel? The glory that's revealed in the face of Jesus, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Pastor Raging was talking about power. Power's been a theme throughout. Chris, he talked about power. JD talked about power. Pastor William, he talked about power. When we started, we talked about power. Do you see a thing? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Jesus said, if a son asks for bread, will his father give him a what? Stone. In light of John 1 and what it tells us about the ministry of Jesus, allow me to say it this way. If a son is asking for bread, will his father give him the Ten Commandments? Would he give him a stone? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the ministry of condemnation that was written and engraved on stone. Jesus is saying, I've come to give you bread. I am the bread of life, he said. I'm that bread that came down from heaven. I'm not going to give you a stone. It doesn't end with the law. It doesn't end with that. I've come to give you myself. I've come to give you me. My son has asked for bread. I didn't give you a stone. That was never my perfect will. They wanted the law. It was the children of Israel who wanted it. God gave it to them. It was a standard that no man could keep Romans talks about long continuance in doing good. And if you had that long continuance in doing good, you could get glory and immortality. You could get and stand before the Father based on that. Here's the problem. Not one of us have that long continuance in doing good. That's the problem. Oh, but I know of one person who has that long continuance in doing good. The Bible says that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. What did Jesus say in John with Lazarus when he came up to the tomb? I'm just going all over the place. I got notes, but I'm flowing. What did he say to them? He said, "Roll away the stone." For man to live again with the Father, God had to get rid of the stone. For man to live again in relationship with the Father, he had to remove the stone, the Ten Commandments, so that man could come before the Father, not based on what they've done, but based on what Jesus has done. Do you see that? He said, roll away the stone. Nothing in the Bible is insignificant. What is that a type of? God saying, what did Jesus come to do? Fulfill the law. He didn't get rid of it. He just simply fulfilled it. He removed the stone so that I could come out of the grave. He called my name and I came out of the grave. I don't preach the law. Creation was crying out for bread, not stone. And that's what the Lord provided. But the problem was, it wasn't esteemed. It wasn't valued. John 17. Now, I'm following Pastor Raging Wilson, so y'all better pray for me, man. I'm telling you, not to. Were y'all here? I mean. I should have canceled, said, hey, yeah, that's it. We're not going to come back anymore after that. We're done. But I believe the Lord does have something. He has something for us. Thank you, Lord. John 17, 20 through 22. If you have it, say, I have it. Here we go. Strap on in. It's going to be a fun ride. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Talking about the disciples, he's saying, I'm not just praying for the disciples, but I'm praying for everyone else who will believe through their word. Amen. So that who's he praying for then? He's praying for me. He's praying for us. Who will believe in him through their word, that they may be what? One, as you and I are one. Woo! Watch this. As you're in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe, that the what? The world may believe that I am the one and that you sent me, and the what? The glory which you have given me, what did he say? I've given them. Say this after me. The glory that God gave Jesus, he's given to me. What's your excuse? I'm a drink to that. What's my excuse? The very glory that Jesus had when he lived and operated on the earth. Guess what? He doesn't need that kind of glory anymore. He's given to us. I tell you, I'm dropping my lid, but it's good anyway. They're quiet, but it's good nonetheless. The glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. John 3:12-13. I'll just read this. You can, actually turn here. This is a beautiful thing. Pastor William went to John chapter 3, and I appreciate that he actually addressed that in spirit wind. I'm appreciative for that message. What a powerful message, and we got to be doers of it the next day. Isn't that something? We got to be at peace with all men. John chapter 3, 12 through 13. Once again, are we thankful, though, for Pastor William Gibbons and Miss Gloria Gibbons for opening up their house here, for opening up their home and being a blessing to us? Praise the Lord for the Gibbons family. What a legacy of faith, and the best is yet to come in the name of Jesus. If I have told you earthly things in John chapter 3, verse 12, and you do not believe, how will you believe me if I tell you heavenly things? Watch this. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, watch him now, who is in heaven. So Jesus is telling them, no one's ascended up to heaven, except the Son of Man who descended, but who's also in heaven right now. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, I'm here, but actually I'm there. What is Jesus showing? What is Jesus revealing to us? This is Ephesians 2. This is Ephesians 2. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Elijah may be right here ministering, but I'm in heaven right now. I've been deployed. That's all. I'm here on assignment. That's all. Jesus said, I'm there right now. And from there, that's where he made the decisions. From there, that's where he said he casted demons out. From there, that's where he did the mission that he was called to do. From there, he put his hand on the leper and said, oh yeah, under the law, if I touch you, I'm not clean anymore. But I come from heaven and I've descended from heaven. I'm in heaven right now. And up there, there is no sickness. There is no disease. So therefore, I'm going to pass on to you what I have up there. And that same glory has been given to you and me. What's our excuse? That's pretty good right there. I like that myself, man. I tell you, sermons.com didn't let me down on that one, man. That's what happens when you get the premium on that sermons.com, man. The Young's Literal Translation says it like this, and no one has gone up to heaven except he who out of the heaven came down, the Son of Man who is in the heaven. Ephesians 2:4, but God is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he's loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm in heaven right now. Deuteronomy, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, talks about days of heaven upon the earth. That's even more of a reality to me. But to them, they were supposed to keep the law in order to get to do that. But I don't have stone. I've got bread. And because I've got bread, I've got him. Ooh. And because I've got him, I've got the glory. The glory that was between God the Father and God the Son now dwells in me by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm just quoting scriptures, Pastor William. That's what the Bible says. Somebody says, how dare you say such a thing? I didn't say it. He said it. Always bring people back to the Word. Don't argue with them about this and that and the third. Bring them back to the Word. If they can't get with the Word, then I'm just like, all right, well, peace out. Thank you, next. Good night. I mean, get on up out of here. Go on. Move on. Paul talks about avoiding foolish discussions and foolish bickering. Avoiding it altogether. That's not worth your peace, just like Pastor William talked about. And a life full of the Spirit is the best testimony, like J.D. talked about. We're not apologetic about the move of the Spirit. We're not apologetic about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives and in the lives of each and every person and believer. I'm telling you, if you're born again, lift your hand if you're born again, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then that means you're in heaven right now. You're with him. You're in him. You're not going to die and go to heaven. You're already there. Death has lost its power. It's lost its sting. You're just returning to home base. You know how some ministers, they go out and they preach, but they have a home-based church? Your home base is heaven. That's what it is. That's home base. So why on earth would I be surprised with a manifestation? Oh, ooh, oh no, it's a manifestation. Oh my gosh. Like what happened last night. You know how many people would be uncomfortable in something, in an environment of what happened last night? Oh no, oh my gosh, what is all that? What do you mean? Why are we surprised? That's where we are. Why would we be surprised? The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, that the heavens were rent open. That's a violent term. That's the same term with the veil being rent in two. What is he saying? We're under an open heaven now because of Jesus. He told the nobleman, he told, was it Nathanael, the disciple? He said that there was no guile in him. He said that you will see the angels ascending and descending on me. Jacob's ladder pales in comparison to the name of Jesus. Sermons.com needs to be a sponsor of mine or something. They need to sow a seed. I'm telling you, they did a good. That's a good. I'm just kidding. I'm going to have fun with it. Now I'm about to say something unpopular. Now comes the teaching part. I got to preach a little bit, but the Lord primarily uses me as a teacher. So I got to be obedient to that. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I encourage you, if you're watching online as well, get a Bible. Look at these things. The Lord's going to do some housekeeping. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you have it, say, I have it. Starting in verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God. To bring up the what? The ark of God. The ark of God housed the presence of God. Is that not correct? The presence of God was there with the ark. Am I correct? My scriptorians, am I correct in that? Okay, so let's move on. Whose name is called by the name. Notice that in my Bible, in the New King James, it says name is, it's a small N, right, lowercase n, but then it says it's called by the name, and that's a capital N there, the Lord of hosts who dwells between the cherubim. Where does the Lord of hosts dwell? Between the cherubim. This is a type of the believer. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm between the cherubim. So they, watch what they do though. So they set the ark of God on what? If you're there, they set the ark of God on what? A new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, who was on the hill. And Uzzah, and the son, I'm reading all these names, good night. They drove the new cart. That's man, oh man. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And he went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments. And it says the instruments there. And then it skip on down. It says that Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error. Man, I tell you what, man, you talk about getting fired. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became very angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. Well, I bet so. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David moved not the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Watch this. Skip on up to verse 3 again. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Where did David get this from? The idea to put it on a cart. Because traditionally, according to what the Lord said he wanted the priest to carry it. He didn't want it on a cart. So where did David get this idea? Stay where you are, and I'm going to read 1 Samuel 6. Verse 7 says this. It's talking about the Philistines. Well, first, verse 1 says this. Now, the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest, and they said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it to its place." Verse 7 says, "Now therefore make a new cart." Make a what? A new cart. "Which have never been yoked, and hitch the cows to the cart, and take their calves home away from them." So David got this from the Philistines. Let me ask you this. Who did David defeat in battle? It was the Philistines. You know, it's a tragic thing when you start following the example of the one you've been called to overcome. I'm going to run that back again. It's tragic when you start following the example of the one you've been called to overcome. David got to put the ark of the Lord on the cart from the Philistine, from the world. Let me say it like this. Maybe this is what David thought. Let me ask you if you ever heard this before. Well, you know, what we're doing is we're just taking from the world and we're just going to put it in church because we're trying to keep up with the times. Let me say this, and write this down if you're taking notes. Your new cart will never hold his ancient glory. It's not designed to. Your new cart won't hold his glory. They say, "Well, we got to, you know, there's nothing wrong with innovation. There's nothing wrong with, look around you. Look at these cameras. Look at Courtney and Frankie, who I'm so thankful for what they're doing. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But what's wrong with that is when you put the glory on and let the glory rest on that." There have been people who have traded. Well, look at what David did here. 2 Samuel 6. Verse 10. "So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite." Watch what he did. He gave the glory away. I wonder how many preachers and teachers have given the glory away to stay relevant, to stay current. It's real quiet in this Methodist church, I'll tell you this morning. Verse 11, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom." What continued in the house of the Lord? Excuse me. "The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household." Watch this. It said that the ark of the Lord was there. Is that correct? Is that what that says? Come on, stay with me. Is that what that says? It says the ark of the Lord was there. Here's the tragic thing that happened. David kept the cart but traded the glory. He kept the cart, but he traded the glory for it. I told you it wasn't going to be a popular one. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 says, "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good and his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Why do I bring that up? That is the glory. How many of y'all ever heard about the glory cloud before? How it comes rolling in. There's healing, the deliverance. My spiritual father, Keith Moore, has a song that talks about wave after wave, the glory of the Lord. Fill in the place, excuse me. Now let's talk about the cart, though. We've got the glory, and we're trying to put it on a cart and rest it on a cart. What happens? Let me say it like this. I'll just be bold, Dustin. I'm already here anyway. Might as well. We're here. We're in the neighborhood. We've traded the glory cloud for fog machines. We've traded the glory cloud for fog machines and smoke screens oh, it's innovative. There's nothing wrong with that. If your church has that, great, awesome, praise the Lord. Don't rest the glory on that cart, though. That's what I'm saying. Don't put the glory on that cart. Don't trust in that for the glory. It's been given to you. You're called to host it. You're called to carry it. If I had to give this a title, I would title it Head and Shoulders. Knees and toes. You're exactly right, Dustin. Knees and toes. Knees and toes. He was raised right. Amen. If I had to give it a title, I would title it Head and Shoulders. Jesus said, where two or three gathered together, I'm there in the midst. We saw how that is a type, an example of the glory in the ark of God and how he dwelled between the cherubim. Excuse me. So what do we see here? We've traded the power that's in two or three gathering together and saying, well, it wasn't a good service because attendance was down. Jesus said, if there's only two or three together, there I am. I'm right there in the midst. But we've traded, we put it on the cart because we went to so-and-so's camp meeting and there was a lot of people there. And so the glory manifested. So that must have been how the glory manifested, because of all these people. And then we put that glory on a new cart and it doesn't fit there. And Uzzah dies. You know who Uzzah was? He had a ministry. He was in the ministry. That's why he touched the ark. It was in his heart. He wasn't disrespectful. He wanted to secure the ark of the Lord. He was in ministry. Let me say it like this. How many ministries have died because they tried to put the glory on a cart? You don't have to say anything there. I know I'm talking right. How many ministries are no longer around today because they wanted to put the glory on a cart? We got to have these smoke screens and these fog machines. What about the glory cloud? David kept the cart, but traded the glory for it. I love how quiet it is, man. I love it, man. That means the Lord's talking. That's all that means. Because it's when it's him, it's not an awkward silence. It's the Lord speaking. You know, he's saying several things to people right here in this moment. I'm preaching this, but he's saying 20,000 other things to people right now in their heart. And here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to challenge you in this. People were telling me, like, man, you're going over there. You're having a conference, man. You know what the number one question, a lot of questions I would get, how many people are going to be there? I said, I don't know. And I don't care. Why? Because that cart's not meant, can't hold ancient glory. You can't hold the glory of Adonai upon that cart. It doesn't rest on that. Verse 12, 2 Samuel chapter 6 here. It was told to King David, saying, the Lord's blessed Obed-Edom and all that he's done because of the ark of the Lord. So David went and brought back the ark of God. Man, I tell you, David said, hold up now. He said, wait a minute. What you not going to do? He said, let me go get that cart. Let me go get the ark of God here. Let me go get that. He said, let me bring back the glory. We've traded the glory because, well, you know, the world's doing this and the world's doing that, and we want to be PC. Well, you know, we don't want to get canceled. That cart won't hold his glory. Do you want to see the glory of the Lord? Do you want manifestations of his presence? The glory is God's presence, and it's weighty with everything good that you need. Do you want it? I want to hear you. Do you want it? Do you desire it? Do you covet it? We're going to have to get rid of the cart. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Yeah, you know, I just, you know, we need a good singer and player. So let's hire some people to come in and sing and play and can that have some experience and that sound real, real good. But when you walk in the back door, they're disrespecting the man and woman of God. It's a cart that won't hold glory. Oh, but we want to make sure that our music is cutting edge, though, so we're going to keep them in. But when you have someone in the congregation, oh, they don't know how to play a lick of beans, but they've got a respect for the house and a respect for the man and woman of the house. So instead of trying to put that glory on the cart of sounding good or sounding relevant, let's put it on the shoulders of someone who has respect for what's happening in God's house. See, we want to put the glory on the new cart so we don't have to do as much. So that we don't have to be reverent. So that we don't have to do our part to show up. I'm not condemning anybody. I don't have anybody in mind. I just want to challenge us to be stewards and proper stewards of the glory of the Lord. It has nothing to do with who's in attendance. My spiritual father is Keith Moore. And he has a story, you know, he's over in Branson, of course, in Sarasota, Florida. He has a story of when he was in healing school and somebody came up to him and said, you know, I want to help you in healing school. You know, I just got healing in my heart. Just got healing in my heart. I'm real excited about healing. And Brother Moore's like, yeah, that's cool. That's great. Awesome. I appreciate that. Then Brother Moore, as only he could do, he kind of paused. And you know how Brother Moore pauses, you know. He kind of paused and he said, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Do you have me on your heart? See, it wasn't enough that the man had healing ministry on his heart. He had to have Brother Moore on his heart. Why? Because we have treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellency of the what? The power and the glory would be of God and not of ourselves. So if Brother Moore has glory that the Lord has given him, we read that, right? And every one of us has been given this. I'm not just isolating him. I'm using the story as an example. If everyone has this glory that's been given to them, what Brother Moore must do in stewarding it well is not to put it on a cart. Just because he's had people who were classically trained that wanted to do something for him, but they showed up late for healing school. He corrected them. He said, I want you to come. I want you to be here now. If you're not going to be here on time, I'm not going to use you anymore. Why is that? Because we're not going to put the glory on the cart. That denotes effort. That denotes, putting it on our shoulders, I should say, denotes an effort on our part. That denotes that we're going to do something. That denotes that we're going to have the right heart. That denotes we're going to live peaceably with all men. That denotes that we're going to do something. We're not just going to let it rest on fog machines and fancy lights and all these types of things. Well, you had enough time to find Isaiah chapter 9 by now. So Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, famous passage. For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government shall be upon his what? His shoulder. Number 7, verse 9 says, go over there. Turn over there. We got time. Turn over there. I'm almost done. Numbers chapter 7. I'm almost done. I'm like, man, I wish, Lord, I wish you'd give this word to Dustin, man. Let Dustin preach that. I didn't want to preach this. Good night. At least Dustin will crack a few jokes and everything, and so it'll make it a little easier. But does it make sense? Do you see my heart? I'm seeing too many churches become seeker friendly. And trying to put the glory on a new cart. trying to put the glory and rest it upon the sound, or try to rest it upon the music, or trying to rest it upon life groups and small groups. There's nothing wrong with any of the things that I just listed, but what is wrong is when you try to rest the glory on it. It's meant to be on the shoulders of his people. It's meant to be carried on the shoulders. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn about me. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. And here's another thing. Here's another new cart that they try to put the glory on. People have in the past, but we're getting better at it. We're growing in it. Amen. But people try to put the glory on titles. Executive pastor this, executive overseer that. Here's the creative pastor. Here's the worship pastor. Here's this pastor. Here's that pastor. When you know that there is the only title that will ever stay with you, the only title that endures forever is the title of servant.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
When this is all said and done, he'll look at us and say, hopefully, well done, good and faithful. Not good and faithful pastor. Not good and faithful apostle. Not good and faithful bishop this. Not good and faithful overseer that. The title that lasts past eternity is servant. But we've tried to put the glory on the cart of titles. My first pastor was Creflo A. Dollar here in Atlanta. He was praying and he was asking the Lord one time. He said, Lord, I know you've called me to be a pastor, but you've used me in other gifts as well, in other offices. He said, what am I, Lord? Am I a pastor? Am I a teacher? Well, like, what do you want me? What title should I go by? And the Lord responded to Pastor Dollar and he said this, son, which would you rather have, the title or the anointing? He said, son, which would you rather have, the title or the anointing? Well, Pastor Dollar responded in the only appropriate way, the anointing.
Yeah.
So the Lord then told him, then let me worry about what you're called. What was God doing? He was saying, put it on your shoulders. Don't put the glory on the title. Put it on your shoulders. The anointing, and watch the anointing break the yoke of bondage. Now, when I say put it on his shoulders, what did Jesus say? The yoke is easy and it's light. So I'm not talking about taking pressure, care, worry, anxiety. I'm talking about the glory. The glory is meant to be carried upon the shoulders of his people, not upon the new cart of religion, tradition, titles. I know we're not running around the room and shouting on the message like this, but if you'll get the principles of it, you'll be shouting. You'll be running. You'll see manifestations. I'm just saying, how many of y'all have noticed it lately? Churches are trying to put the glory on a cart. Well, we sung this particular song, and then when we sung this particular song, then this happened. So we're going to sing that song every service. Where is there room for the wind of the Spirit to blow? A lot of churches have the Holy Spirit tied up in the back room. He's tied up. He's gagged in the back room. He's there, but he's just tied up, gagged. Why, somebody said, Elijah, why are you pausing? It's awkward. Well, you know, I want to make sure we're saying what he wants us to say. Because this is important. This is strategic. The glory of the Lord desires to manifest every time we get together. And it's happened in the conference. Every time we've gotten together, there's been a manifestation. The Lord said that would happen. But here's my commitment to you. Any other spirit wind we do, wherever we do it, we're not bringing a cart. We're not bringing a cart with us. Because see, we're gonna do the spirit wind in other countries at some point, and we're going to travel. That's a lot of travel. That's a lot of things. That's a lot of this. That's a lot of that. So, and you're traveling and doing stuff like that. You can't take a lot of the fancy stuff with you. You can't take the fog machine with you, but you can take the glory cloud. You can take the glory with you. But what if we put it on the cart of the sound system? The sound system has to be just right. It's got to be just perfect in order for God to really move. Now, don't get me wrong. Excellence in ministry is key. But once again, all I'm saying is let's not rest the glory on that. Because it'll tilt. Somebody will try to put their hand on it, and a ministry will die. What the person was called to do will die. There'll be separation. There'll be death. Because it was never meant to be on that cart. Isaiah 9, it said, the government shall be upon his shoulders. In Numbers chapter 7, verse 6, it says, Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two carts and four oxen he gave to the sons of whatever that name is, according to their service. And four carts and eight oxen he gave to those people, according to their servants, under the authority of that person, the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Kohath, I say their name for a reason. But to the sons of Kohath, because I want to draw our attention to this, he gave none. He gave none what? He didn't give them carts. Why? Because theirs was the service of the holy things, which they carried on their shoulders. The holy things are meant to be carried upon the shoulders. Pastor Ray Jean said it last night. The Lord uses people, not sound systems. The Lord uses people. Jesus said in John 17:22 that the glory which you gave me, I've given them. Here's my charge to us. Don't put it on a cart. Don't put that glory on the cart, but bear it upon your shoulders. Last scripture, Matthew 21. Matthew 21. There's going to be manifestations of the Spirit and of power as we wrap up this conference. And then in our lives in general, as we go and do our collective ministry, our collective lives, we will continue to see these manifestations of the Spirit. But there's one thing we must remember. Let me say it to you like this. God gives you glory. He gives glory. We saw that, right? Did we not read that in scripture, correct? He gives glory. Watch me now. He does not share it. He gives you glory. He gives glory, but he does not share his glory. We see in many verses, I'll share my glory with no other. But yet he gives glory. So what's the difference? You're supposed to give that glory right back where it comes from, to him. So if that glory that he's giving you, that rests upon you by the person of the Holy Spirit, there's a Spirit Wind Conference. But if you don't give that glory back to him, we're dealing with another Eli, where you're cut off. It's not popular, but it's tight but right. It's tight but right. Matthew 21, verse 1. And here, let me say this too, though, before I get into that. Sometimes people will come up to you and they'll compliment you. Like if you preach somewhere or if you do something cool, they'll come up to you and they'll say, man, that was a really good message. That was a really good thing that you did. And a lot of times people will say, well, no, brother, it was all God. And there's nothing wrong with that. The heart of that is right. But I'll tell you like a story I heard a minister say. One time they went up to someone and said, man, that was really good. What you did, that was so good. And then the person replied, trying to be humble, oh, man, it was all God, brother. And the minister replied to him, it wasn't that good. It wasn't that good now. It wasn't that good. Why do I say that? It's okay to say thank you when someone says, that ministered to me, that blessed me. Well, thank you. The Lord helped me. It's that simple. Well, he's talking about, man, I tell you, that really blessed me. And the guy said, man, I tell you, it's all the Lord. The minister said, well, it wasn't that good. It wasn't that good now. Calm down. Hold your horses. Matthew 21, verse 1. I feel led of the Lord to say this too. I said this the last Sunday I was here about fasting. Comes up in my heart again for some reason. Somebody needs to hear it. See, people try to fast to move God. But that's not what it's supposed to do. It moves you. It doesn't move God. It moves you. It positions you. Jesus said that this kind, and people say demon is what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He says, look up the scripture. This kind of unbelief only comes out through prayer and fasting. So what are you doing? You don't believe, you're believing God for something and you're facing doubt in that area. Here's what you do. You want to really tame yourself? Cut yourself off from the cheesecake and say, I ain't going to eat any cheesecake until my soul comes in line with my spirit and I believe what the word of God says about my healing, and watch your flesh come into alignment, and that cures the unbelief. But if you're fasting to move God, you didn't fast, you just went on a hunger strike. You're not fasting, you just went on a hunger strike. And the Lord can't move in that. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and to the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. You're going up to the car dealership. Let's make this practical to us today. Going to the car dealership, and you're going to get that car. And the dealer's like, what are you doing? You're getting in the car. You're pressing the start button. The car's revving up. And he's like, what are you doing? You didn't pay for it. There's no paperwork or anything. Oh, the Lord has need of it. Man, you try that today, you'll get arrested, man. You'll be in the loony pages, man. That won't happen. Won't work today. But he says, tell him the Lord has need of it. All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying that your king will come meek and sitting upon a donkey, and the colt of the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. They set Jesus on it. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth and of Galilee. Why do I bring this up? Well, I find it interesting that, you know, a few verses after this, they're saying, crucify Jesus. People are fickle. They'll love you today and hate you tomorrow. I mean, you know, in that multitude, that all those people probably have been healed by Jesus at least once. And they're saying, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Why? Because Barabbas had more Instagram followers. Uh-oh. Barabbas had more followers. Barabbas was the popular move. Barabbas was trending. People were posting on their Instagram, voted for Barabbas. Why do I bring this up? Now let's look back over here in verse 7 now. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their clothes and set him, Jesus, thereon. And what happened? We know that they took palm trees, right? And they were saying Hosanna, and they were blessing him, right? But here's the funny thing. I like jokes, and I like laughing at it. Here's the funny thing, though. Though, here's what I want to look at. Let's look at this side. How do you think the donkey and the colt felt? They thought that was all for them. They like, look at who you came to see. I'm telling you, they're like, all this is for us? Oh, this is what you shouldn't have. The donkey and the colt are like, man, we out here. We in the community. They're excited about it. Man, what is all this? But it wasn't for them. Watch me now. It wasn't for them. It had nothing to do with them, but had everything to do with who they carried. As things increase in our lives, there's more glory. There's more manifestations. Make sure you remember that it's not for you. The glory is not for you. It's all about whom you carry. In other words, Dustin, I said it in a nice way, but you're a donkey. I'm a donkey. I'm a donkey, man. Listen, I'm just whom he rests upon. The Bible says that they put clothes on them. Well, hasn't God clothed us? Hasn't he clothed us with humility? Hasn't he clothed us with his armor? Were we not dead in our sins? Were we not a type of the donkey that must be redeemed by the lamb? Was that not a type of us? It has nothing to do with you and me, but it has everything to do with who I carry. Don't mix up the palm trees and say it's for you. That's not for you. That's for him. The donkey and the colt was given glory because of who they carried. But if the donkeys and the colt were thinking it was all for me and it's all about me, then, I mean, they would have a rude reality check. And they're like, man, look at all these people, man. They're freaking out. Well, what is it? I guess the donkey's talking to the colt and like, what's going on? Well, I guess it's the bath that I took. I mean, I actually smell good today. Maybe that's what they're happy about. I wasn't so stubborn today, the donkey says. But it had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with who they carried. So I want to leave you with this. Mike, if you'll come up, and Jenna as well, and sing Here Comes the Glory at the end. What I want to do is say this. Manifestations are coming more and more to this church and to every ministry represented here, I believe. That what we must remember and keep in the forefront of our mind, that the glory belongs to him. It has nothing to do with me, but it does have everything to do with who I carry. Jesus said in John 17, let's go back to that. We'll close here. John 17 and verse 22. And the glory. I'll give you time to turn over there and look at it. Let your eyes rest on it. And the glory. John 17, 22. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. My challenge to all of us in this room, myself included, myself in the forefront, myself, the one I'm preaching to, honestly, is that as the people hear about things and see things, that we don't put the glory on the cart. Jesus has given you the glory that him and the Father share. It's been given to me. I'm in heaven right now. I've been made to sit with him in heavenly places. But what I must not do, he's tried to put that glory on a cart, on smoke screens, and trade that for the glory cloud. On a sound system, and trade that for people actually hearing angels sing as a manifestation of the Spirit. As God wills, we're not making these things happen, but we sure can let them happen. You don't make these things happen, but you sure can let them happen. People will come, and they'll have those palm trees, and they'll be waving them. There'll be people that'll come and say, man, that was a great word. What are they doing? It's palms. That's what they're doing. It's palm trees. They're saying, man, that's great. You did a great job today. You did good. But it's not about you. It's all about who you carry. Let's stand to our feet.
Wow. What a powerful message. Listen, guys, I'm just a donkey. Listen, I want you to know this. I don't have anybody in mind with these messages, no church, no affiliate, nothing at all. What my heart is that we steward well the glory of the Lord and not put it on a cart, but that we carry it on our shoulders. Listen, I love you guys so much. Leave a like, a comment, a review. Let us know that the podcast blessed you today. My name is Elijah Merle, and remember this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.